Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio, brought to you live online by Progressive Complete Health. Train right, then train hard. My name is Jason Venkus, and I am your host and the founder of Progressive Complete Health. I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, performance enhancement specialist, and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. So make sure you tune in here every week at 3 p.m. Central Time, or you can listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook page at Progressive Complete Health, and as well as on our Twitter account at GoProVeg. And that's GoProVeg. So every year, millions of people worldwide make New Year's resolutions. 38% of those resolutions are based on fitness or weight loss. 97% of those resolutioners fail. Many times that involves a gym membership. Now, I know we see more people in my studio at this time of the year as well, and that number starts to dwindle as the months go on. People get busy, maybe they get bored, or just lose the willpower to keep it up. The number one reason people don't stick with their resolutions is because they don't see results and they give up. So following these tips today are going to help you keep you seeing results and keep you motivated and keep up with your New Year's resolution. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is going to sound a little bit contradictory to what I'm doing, but it's reading or believing everything on the internet, with the exception of this radio show. There is tons of information on the internet about weight loss. So stop reading all of it and stick with solid nutrition plans and exercise. If it sounds too good to be true, just skip it because it very most likely and definitely is. So I see one of the biggest challenges for people is not changing their drinking or their eating habits, especially going from Thanksgiving into Christmas and into the holidays and into New Year's, and not changing those drinking or eating habits going into the new year. Weight loss is 70% nutrition. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. 70% nutrition, 70% of what you eat, and 30% what happens in the gym. So it's important that you choose healthy foods such as fruits, veggies, dense whole grains, and lean proteins. So your nutrition is the number one factor that's going to help you lose weight. You still want to do the exercise. Don't get me wrong. You want to combine both of them. But nutrition is of the utmost importance. Now, some people, even trainers, are going to tell you that you need to get tons of protein. So you set out to drink extra milk, eat more beef and cheese, all in the name of protein. But what most people don't realize is you end up taking in more calories than your body needs, and that stores as fat, no matter if it's fat, carbs, or protein. So no matter what, if you're eating too much fat, too much carbs, or too much protein, if you're eating too many calories in general, you're going to gain weight, or it's going to keep you from losing weight. And you want to stay away from or limit the processed foods and snacks. And that'll be kind of a theme as we go on here today as well. You're going to be, if you're eating a lot of processed foods, you're eating foods that are typically higher in calories, tend to have trans fatty acids in it, which are fats that are very hard to get rid of. And you're getting less nutrients, so you're going to eat more of it. And also tend to be packed with sugar. So again, make sure you're getting plenty of fresh produce in your diet, but make sure it's whole produce as well. It's okay every now and again to get a juice in once in a while, but if you're crunched for time, try a smoothie instead. And that's where you blend up all of your vegetables with some fruit in a blender and drink it as a smoothie. You're going to keep the fiber inside, and you don't get that sugary crash you get from juices. When you juice, you're removing the fiber that comes out in the pulp. You're removing the stuff that keeps you fuller longer. What about sugar-free and fat-free foods? Well, let's start with the fat-free foods. Check your packaging, because fat-free foods would taste like cardboard if they didn't add sugar to make up for the taste. And we've continuously heard, especially if you've been around me, about what processed sugar does to our waistlines. Sugar spikes your insulin and your energy and then crashes you out, leaving you wanting more. Now, that's processed sugar. We're talking about processed sugar. We're not talking about the sugars that are found naturally in fruits and vegetables. So this crash and this wanting more leads to overeating. So what about the sugar-free foods then? It's naturally sugar-free, well then that's okay. But if it's an artificial sweetener, know this. Experiments in a variety of animals, including humans, have repeatedly demonstrated that artificial sweeteners are correlated with increased hunger and total energy intake. By energy intake, they mean calorie intake. When your body takes in a zero-calorie sweetener, it thinks that it's getting calories. Doesn't get them, it tells the brain that it wants more. So you're going to eat more because you're not actually getting those calories. You're actually better off eating some foods with fats in it, and good fats like your omega-3s, like you get a lot from fish. But you can also get them from avocados and nuts as well. So you still want to get some fats because those fats are going to help your body absorb certain vitamins. There are many vitamins that your body won't absorb without fat. So that kind of takes me into diet pills. A lot of the diet pills, they cut the fat, take this diet pill, or take this vitamin. Well, all diet pill commercials have in the small print or in their pamphlets in small print or on the screen in their commercials, with proper diet and exercise. Diet and exercise is always a factor with anything when it comes to weight loss. It's always there. So skip the gimmicky product, and especially the diet pills, because they often have adverse side effects. And you can go back, check another show I did about some of the side effects of certain diet pills. So what about exercise? Why do people fall off from the exercise? Well, there's some mistakes that are made. And the number one thing is not enjoying the exercise. If you don't enjoy it, you're not going to stick with it. If you view it as a chore, you're not going to stick with it. But if you view it as a fun activity and make it a part of your goals, you're gonna find that you enjoy it and you stick with it longer. So find an exercise routine that you like, or find a partner to exercise with and at least enjoy it while you're torturing yourself, having pleasant conversation. So make it enjoyable, or even make it a challenge. If you have a partner, make it a challenge. Now, if you like Zumba, do Zumba. Okay? If you like CrossFit, do CrossFit. If you like group fitness classes, do group fitness classes. If you like dance classes, do dance. But if you're going to do things like Zumba and CrossFit and stuff like that, make sure you listen to my radio show on why you should wait until you're ready. So if you want to get into something like CrossFit, you can't just jump into it without some prepping. So figure out what kind of exercise you like and then find a trainer that can give you the base strength so that you can enjoy the exercise without injury, because that's another thing that happens. People jump in full force, do stuff they're not ready for, get injured, and then they just lose their motivation because they're injured, they dread going to the gym, battling through that knee pain, or the knee pain puts them down for an extended period of time, and then they just give up. Oh, I'll start over again next year. So figure out what kind of exercise you want and then have that trainer build up your strength. Now, this includes running and jogging too. So if you're really just kind of into the cardio portion of it, you still want to add weights in there. You know, I'm going on 5 years with no injuries once I added the proper base building techniques. And I'm five or six half marathons and 2 half Ironmans in my life so far with no major injuries as I knock on the desk here. So the next mistake that people make is doing steady-state cardio and only steady-state cardio. I'm not saying that steady-state cardio is wrong and just going at one speed is wrong. If you do it all the time, yes. But you want to add something in there. You want to add in intervals. So don't just do steady-state cardio. Your body will get used to it, into exercising at that level, and eventually you're going to plateau, stop losing weight, and then you're going to get mad, you're going to quit. So that's why most people give up. They lose their first 20 pounds doing steady-state cardio, don't do anything to change it up, and then get discouraged and quit. So change it up by adding intervals and rev up your metabolism for an additional 48 hours afterwards. So in order to achieve this, you can play with your speed up and down, or you can play to incline up and down as well, as long as your knees can handle it. One other thing you want to do, if you're tracking calories, you don't have to track calories if you're following a proper nutrition plan, but if you are tracking your calories burned, please keep in mind that if you put your hands on the treadmill, you're taking some of the pressure off of your body. So your heart rate monitor is not, the heart rate monitor on the treadmill is not going to give you the right readout. It will give you the right readout if you're using a separate heart rate monitor. So if you've got one of the straps that goes with a watch, it'll still give you an accurate reading. But you're taking 10 to 20% of the pressure off of your body. Therefore, you're not working out as hard. Your heart rate's not up as high. So the treadmill is not going to give you the right calorie count. Another mistake that people make, and I'm kind of going back a little bit here, but not adding that strength training in. It's big. A lot of people go out and say, I'm just going to do the treadmills or some cardio equipment, and I don't need, and I don't even really like weights. Well, you may not like them, but you do need them. So find a trainer that can build a program for you that you're going to enjoy. It doesn't have to just be straight, you know, lifting up and down. They can make it more enjoyable for you. Because everybody needs to build balance, flexibility, strength, and sometimes even power into their routine. Not only will this keep you from getting injured and losing your momentum, but you're going to burn calories at a higher rate for the next 39 hours because your muscles have to repair themselves. That soreness that you feel after lifting weights, you've created all these little micro tears in your muscles, and your body needs to expend energy to repair those muscles. So add that in to increase, you know, your metabolism on top of the increase in your metabolism from doing the interval training, and you're going to be burning calories like crazy when you're not even exercising, because it is more about what you're doing outside of the gym than what you're doing inside of the gym. So if you don't have enough time to be doing cardio and weightlifting, try a circuit-style class that combines multifunctional movements, multi-joint movements in a circuit style with weights. So you're getting your cardio in, you're getting your heart rate up, and you're getting the strength training in at the same time. Another mistake people make, and this is why they're trying to lose weight or not, but this is just a general mistake people make in life, and that's not enough sleep. More and more research suggests that the more sleep we get, the longer we can extend our lives, and the healthier we tend to be. So make sure you're getting enough sleep. Adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. This needs to be part of your training program, no matter what you're doing. Whether it's just general life or whether you're trying to lose weight or whether you're training for something, you need to make sure that you're getting your 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. Teenagers need more. They need 8 to 10 hours. Your body needs it to recover, and those that don't get enough sleep tend to overeat during the day as well because their body is craving energy. So if you're not getting more than a few hours of sleep each night, you're going to wake up craving food because your body is looking for energy. And oftentimes this usually comes in the form of sugary foods like donuts and cereals. And it starts that cycle all over again. You eat something sugary, and then a couple hours later, you're craving more food again, and most likely it's going to be craving more sugar. Another mistake people make, overvaluing the scale. Don't get caught up in the scale. Don't get caught up in BMI numbers. We're finding more and more that the BMI thing typically doesn't work. My wife has a friend who's pretty well built. He's very muscular, but when he goes in for his physicals every year for insurance, they tell him that he's obese and needs to lose weight. But the guy is probably about maybe percent body fat. So don't get caught up in the scale. Go by how you feel, how your clothes fit differently. I love it when my clients blame me for having to buy new pants and how their favorite jeans don't fit them any longer. So if you're lifting any kind of weight, you're going to build some sleek, toned, and sexy muscle, and that's going to add a little bit of weight to your body. Also, many things affect weight. such as, you know, how much you ate, and if it's still in your stomach. If you just ate, you know, if you just ate, you're going to weigh probably a couple pounds more than you did about an hour ago. Water retention can be another factor in weight fluctuation when it comes to the scale as well. Often women who are on their monthly cycle will weigh about 3 pounds heavier than their true actual body weight because they're holding on to that water. So take body fat measurements and use a measuring tape to measure around the waist, the hips, the right thigh, and the right upper arm, and that's going to give you a truer sense of how much body fat that you're losing by going over your measurements. If you are going to use the scale, try and weigh yourself no more than once a week, same time of the day, same day of the week. So that way at least some of the conditions will be consistent. I always suggest doing it first thing when you wake up in the morning or first thing after you, if you have a bowel movement, first thing in the morning, doing it right after that because you're going to lose a couple pounds there already. So it'll give you a more accurate representation of your weight. Another mistake that people make, and probably one of the bigger ones, is no plan. No plan, no goals. Last night at my studio, we set out when we did our 2016 vision boards with our goals for the year. So going in without a plan or goals is a plan to fail. I'm sure you've heard that before, but it's also important to set SMART goals. Now, you can go back and listen to the radio show I've done on setting SMART goals, but I'll give you a brief rundown. You want to make sure they're specific. What specifically are you trying to accomplish? And with that, you want to make it measurable. So specific and measurable. Okay, I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, you want to lose 50 pounds. Is that attainable? And is it realistic? And next is, you know, put a timestamp on it. So is it timely? So I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, you want to lose 50 pounds by when? Oh, I want to lose 50 pounds by 6 months. Well, can we break that down a little bit smaller? Let's say you want to lose 8 pounds a month. Set a smaller goal. Because the reason for this is it has a lot to do with motivation. Saying you want to lose 50 pounds is a very general goal, but saying you want to lose 8 pounds in the first month is more specific, more realistic, and definitely very measurable, timely, because you've put a timestamp on it of a month. Plus, from an encouragement standpoint, if you only lose 2 pounds your first week, it may seem like you have a long way to go out of that 50. Oh, I only lost 2 pounds. I'm only at, you know, I'm only at 4% of my goal. And then people tend to get discouraged, and it seems like it's a big uphill climb. But if you lose 2 pounds out of 8 for the first month, you're at 25% of your goal, which is more motivating, more satisfying, and you're more likely to keep it up. So you want to set smaller, more attainable goals and then smash them. When I work with people, it's typically starts out as a 12-week program, and we set goals for 4, 8, and 12 weeks, and we check in each time with those goals. Where are we when it comes to those goals? And we only break it down for 4 weeks at a time because if we say, okay, we want to accomplish this in 12 weeks, well, we lose sight of those goals and lose track in the middle of it. The last thing I want to talk to you about is cutting yourself off from your favorite foods completely. Going back to the foods, it's okay to be bad once in a while. Enjoy the foods that you love. Not all the time, but don't cut yourself off completely from them either. When you take people like I'm the Biggest Loser, you know, they're cut off from everything. It's a complete 180-degree turnaround. They yell and they scream and they cry. Don't do that to yourself, and don't do that to your family. If these people were still at home, they would make it a week or two and then binge. It's better to allow yourself a cupcake every now and again or once a week than to binge on a dozen after 2 weeks of deprivation. So it's better to just a little bit at a time let yourself have some of the foods that, you know, that aren't good for you as opposed to cutting yourself off and then, you know, demolishing an entire cake later. So that's one mistake that a lot of people do is they go in this complete deprivation and they end up binging later. I've been through it. I've seen clients go through it before I really got a handle on how to help people with their nutrition. So let yourself remember it's okay to be bad. Let yourself have a sweet treat every once in a while. Let yourself have a potato chip every once in a while. Don't completely, you know, cut yourself off from it, or you're going to be likely to binge. So those are your top mistakes when it comes to weight loss. One other thing, if you make one of these mistakes, if you mess up, don't be too hard on yourself. Learn from your mistake and move on. One day is not going to ruin your entire plan. Not every fight is won in a war. Join me again next week as we dedicate each show to helping you with your New Year's resolutions. You can find us for more information, including more TV shows, exercise videos, as well as motivation on Facebook by searching for Progressive Complete Health, or you can find us at GoProVeg.com and on Twitter at GoProVeg. Until next time, may your life be filled with peace, balance, and harmony. Namaste.
That's all.